Good morning. Welcome to a new week. It is Monday, July the 29th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm J.D. Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Let's begin the day, the week, the approaching end of the month with consecration. The movement of our life, it's consecration, transformation, demonstration, consecration, transformation, demonstration. Beginning today with consecration. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, What Looks Like a Big Story Now Felt Like a Small Story Then. Our text is Acts chapter 25 this week. And today we'll cover the verses 1 through 5. Hear now the word of the Lord. 3 days after arriving in the province, Festus went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem, where the chief priests and the Jewish leaders appeared before him and presented the charges against Paul. They requested Festus as a favor to them to have Paul transferred to Jerusalem, for they were preparing an ambush to kill him along the way. Festus answered, Paul is being held at Caesarea, and I myself am going there soon. Let some of your leaders come with me, and if the man has done anything wrong, they can press charges against him there. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. What feels like a big story now felt like a small story then. We must remind ourselves continually of our point of view as we read Scripture. It is so easy to read the present back into the past. We approach the text over 2,000 years later. The church is ubiquitous. We find ourselves on the far side of the long fade of Christendom, that period of history where it became hard to distinguish the church from the state and then consequently the world. In the North American context, it is still more common to identify as a Christian than not. Our politicians appeal to their conservative values in seeking to be reelected. There may be more Bibles than people in this country alone. What I'm getting at is our tendency to read the Bible with the point of view that Paul, or Jesus for that matter, was somehow at the center of culture and society of their day. If we aren't self-critical about our own place and point of view, we all too readily think everyone in the first century, save the detractors, accorded Paul the rock star status we tend to give him today in retrospect. Sure, Paul mattered a lot to the young church, but the church was hardly a minority report in the first 40 years of its existence. Sure, they were growing and making a few highlight reels here and there, but the overwhelming majority of the people in the world would still be in the dark. This thing going on with Paul and the Jews and the Roman court system would have hardly been a blip on the radar screen of anyone. We must discard any assumption we have that this story was somehow newsworthy. Looking back from the 21st century, the whole thing unfolds before us as a stunning, God-sized story of cosmic proportions. At the time, who even knew it was happening? And of those who knew, who really cared? Looking back, the only reason we even know the names of Felix and Festus and half a dozen other bit players of history is Paul. That's why we know them. History has its way, doesn't it? That's how history happens. It often takes the perspective of years to see what really mattered and what didn't. At the time, it's impossible to know. Remember that when you think about what you are doing today with your life. In the present, it can seem oh so small and insignificant. I think that's what Jesus was trying to get across when he talked to us about the mustard seed becoming the largest tree in the garden. Be encouraged, Christian. Don't give up. Give yourself to what may seem small today. It's worth it. It matters. You matter. Press on. Invest your resources in what many may consider a kingdom of God long shot. Every big story was once a very small story. It's why I spend so much time talking about seeds. The whole story is in the single seed. C.T. Studd put it well in the refrain from his famous poem, "Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." Amen. That's good. Let's pray together this morning our prayer of transformation. Lord Jesus, I am your witness. I long to be like you. And of course, I know the secret, but I need to be reminded, and not just reminded, but actually invaded. The secret is Christ in me. The hope of glory, the realization, the actualization of righteousness and the kingdom. So to that end, I'm saying to you, Jesus, I receive your righteousness and release my sinfulness. I receive your wholeness and release my brokenness. I receive your fullness and release my emptiness. I receive your peace and release my anxiety. I receive your joy and release my despair. I receive your healing and release my sickness. I receive your love and release my selfishness. I receive the humility of my life, of your life, as the seed. And I release my self-interested need to be something big. Yes, come Holy Spirit. Transform my heart, mind, soul, and strength make me become love so that my consecration becomes your demonstration, that our lives become your sanctuary. For the glory of God our Father. Amen. The journal prompts. Have you ever considered that you might possibly make history, directly or indirectly, from simply being obedient in the little things? Consider it. And the truth is, you are making Kingdom of God history with every small act of obedience. Disobedience to the world. Whether it makes the history books or not, it will matter enormously to those around you. And for our hymn today, we're going to sing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. That is number 570. Blessed Assurance, 570. It's got three verses. We'll sing them all. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. Well, gang, it's a new week ahead of us. We're going to be breaking the seal on a new month in a couple of days. It's going to be August again. Man, time, as the hymn writer said, time like an ever-rolling stream. So soon bears us all away. We fly forgotten as a dream flies at the break of day. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. So take it to the bank today, gang. What feels like a very small story now, which is our lives, in retrospect, to those who come behind us, will look like a big story because our little lives got caught up in the big story of Jesus. What a gift to our children and our children's children. So do the small thing today. Be faithful in the little thing today. That's the story of the seed. That's why we're sowing. And that's the story of the Bible. That's the point I'm trying to get across today, is that what it looks like a pretty big story now, but guys, at the time, nobody was paying attention. It was very small, and where people were paying attention, they were fighting it to the death. That's Paul. So that's why if you're sowing for a great awakening, you are facing opposition. And that opposition is coming at you in the form of many trials, many hardships. For some of us, there's actually real active persecution. But for most of us, it's just hard things. It's challenging things. It's losing a child in the midst of faithfulness to God. It's just like, how can we get back up after that? It's the disintegration of a family after you've tried everything, and in the midst of being faithful to God, it just, the prayer seemed to go unanswered, and you're like, how do I get my hand back on the plow? It feels like a small story, a story of struggle, a story of losing, of defeat. It seems like this has been a theme through this series, the second season of the Acts of the Apostles. It seems like it's been a theme, hard-pressed on every side, right, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always, Paul said, we, he didn't say I, he said we, and he's including us. We always carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed through our bodies. It's death and resurrection. That's the cross. And we kind of, or at least I do, I kind of want it to be all resurrection. But it's interesting too, Paul, like when he says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. I want to put the period right there, but he says, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. That's the big story. And that can get lost in the midst of our little story that just seems to go south so much of the time. But that's the big story. We got to encourage each other, build each other up. We got to keep meeting together. We need to be banding together. We need to stay the course. We need to let perseverance finish its work so that, James says, we might be mature and complete, not lacking anything. All right, I'll stop there. I'm going to start preaching if I don't. So far, I'm just exhorting. Well, I want you to know something today on this Monday. I'm proud of you. I want to say what I think Jesus is saying to you today. He's saying, I love you. I like you. And I'm proud of you. He just sort of puts his hands on your shoulders, and he gets up and he close talks you. He looks into your eyes and he's like, I love you. And guess what? I like you. My love for you is not just tolerance. No, I actually like you. I enjoy you. I take delight in you. I want to be around you. And then you're kind of trying to pull away because it's hard for you to take such love. It's hard for you to receive it and contain it. And that's our biggest problem. But he holds, he grips your shoulders. And he like adjusts his eyes. He like pulls your eyes back to his eyes. And he looks into your soul and he says, one more thing. I'm proud of you. It's the truth. Receive it. Get your seed. That's what we're sowing today. I'll see you on the field.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.